You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch with the always popular Tom Gimbel, who is the expert on all things, job-related. He's the job expert and founder of the LaSalle Network. Hi, Tom.
Hey, John. How are you?
What did I say? Always popular? Did I say that about you?
Yeah, I think always provoking, maybe?
Provocative, yeah. How about that?
Provocative. That's a better word. Provocative. Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to read you a headline from CNBC, and it says, 3-day hybrid work week is a success, study published in Nature says. What's your reaction to that?
I think like we talk about so often is that things are successful in certain situations. And it's no different than any relationship. Is I think there are most definitely companies that have 3-day work weeks that are super successful. And I think there are other companies that if they were fully remote would be successful, and other companies that if they had 5 days in the office, they'd be successful.
But you have said that you are an advocate of being in the office.
Absolutely.
So it's maybe not 5 days a week. I mean, do you have a sort of mental scorecard in your head? How many days, ideally, do you think people would need to be in the building?
I think the more the better. And the reason I say that is because it's not just the interaction you have with your team. It's the interaction you have in the accounting department. It's the interaction you have in the marketing department. It's the interaction you have with executives. Those are the interactions that are missed. So I think eventually we're going to get to a world where it's more often than not going to be 4 days a week, Monday through Thursday. It's what I think it's going to end up at.
Is there something? You all right there?
Yeah, I'm sorry. It was an alarm.
Do you think it's Monday through Thursday, or does it matter? Could it be Wednesday off or working from home?
Yeah, I think it could be, but I think for remote Friday is the new casual Friday, John. And I think that it's really going to be dictated by two things. It's going to be dictated by turnover, and it's going to be by revenue and profitability. And what I mean by that is if we get a situation where unemployment spikes and revenues and profits go down for companies, they're going to demand a change, because when something breaks, you want to fix it. And that's where it's going to be an area that gets fixed. And so right now we're continue to go through these unprecedented good stock market, good times, low unemployment. But as you can see in society right now, is there's still this level of discontent. And I just think it's really been from pandemic to today of people want to make more money, they want to work less, they want to work remotely, and you can't always have your cake and eat it too. And I just think that companies are figuring it out, and it just takes time.
The study used a 2-day at-home work week because it is the primary structure for 70% of global employees working on a hybrid schedule. They estimate about 100 million employees worldwide now have some form of a hybrid schedule. I didn't realize, I guess I shouldn't be surprised that this is a worldwide trend, huh?
Yeah, and I think that's the big. I mean, look what's going on just on a political perspective. They're talking about the mayor of London, the president of France, and the problems he's having. Netanyahu in Israel. We have so many problems in democracies around the country, or around the world, that are having political problems not so dissimilar from us. And if it's political, it also happens to be in the business world. And employees are trying to figure out how much they can ask for and take and demand, and employers are figuring out how to run their companies the best way. And it's really a trial and error situation. What I'm surprised at, quite frankly, is that more CEOs haven't mandated. There's a lot of complaining and whispering behind the scenes. People should be in the office. They shouldn't be. Remote is okay. But very few people speaking up and mandating what they think is the right thing to do. And I think that's partly due to social media, partly due to everybody having a voice about everything all the time. and people just fearing backlash versus what's the right way to run their business.
And there might be backlash, but I wonder, too, if like children to disciplined parents, the employees might appreciate a firm hand. That is, this is the way it is. We're not going to negotiate everybody's circumstances. We'd love to have you work here. If you do, these are the rules. You will be here 4 days a week. I wonder if employees would be, you know, that would at least eliminate the drama of can I work from home all of the time?
100%. You are absolutely right, is that sometimes people do want to be told what the expectations are and what they're supposed to do. Not everybody has, and I'm not even saying this at like rank and file, like there's directors and vice presidents and executives that if you give them an inch, they'll take a yard. And the idea of leading people and saying, this is what we need, this is the expectations, and guess what? Nobody's indispensable, and you got to do what's right for the company. It doesn't mean you don't treat people well. Have fun. Be respectful. Make the office a nice place to be. You can create flexibility without making it fully remote.
Tom Gimbel's the job expert and founder of the LaSalle Network. Tom, let's visit again next week. Thank you, sir.
Absolutely. Be safe and stay cool.
Philip Weiss joins us, president of SciFarth at Work. And here's a headline for you, Philip. It says, give some profit, get back some loyalty and productivity. You're talking about profit sharing there, my friend?
Absolutely. John, I'm good to talk to you. Really, we're talking about something even broader, whether it is giving employees stock options, giving them stock, or showing them how they will get a bonus based on net profits. There's a lot of ways that you can give some profits, and what companies are finding is there's real benefits to doing so. In the last 3 or 4 years, companies increasingly are giving their employees a piece of the pie or a piece of the profits, and the results they're finding is include increased productivity, more job satisfaction, more retention of current employees. So a whole host of benefits. You don't have to give much to get these rewards.
Who would qualify for that? Does or should? Should it be every single employee? Should it be salespeople who generate the income? How do you decide who's on the program?
Well, those categories you just mentioned are really useful to consider. Because if you talk about a salesperson or a sales manager, they could benefit in more than one way. I mean, there's the direct compensation from a commission-type arrangement. That really incentivizes deal to deal. But any and every employee, to your original question, can be part of some kind of profit benefiting program or a sort of capitalism sharing program. Many companies, particularly smaller ones, may wait until someone has been with the organization for some period of time, make sure that they're vested in terms of their time and effort. By and large, the goal here is to get everyone to feel that they have a shared vision and a shared stake in outcomes.
Do you make it a bonus at the end of the year, or does profit sharing take other forms?
Yeah, it can take a number of forms. The nice thing about sort of a bonus based on net profits is that can work for some very small companies. So you don't need the complexity of a profit sharing plan with a trust account set up and all kinds of record keeping to start the process. Obviously, you want the right kind of advice from lawyers and accountants, but the idea that you have a 10 or 15 person company and some of those key people already benefit based on net revenues is going to make them so much more committed to the results and to managing or operating effectively. We had a company that we helped now where it was a healthy food snack company, and they introduced profit sharing at a very low level, but already one of their marketing team members came up with highly creative solutions, John. Partnerships with fitness influencers online, partnerships with local co-op food stores to get the name of this healthy food product out there. The woman later said, I wouldn't have thought to be that creative, to sort of put myself on the line without feeling that I was really part of the inner circle receiving profits.
Are businesses doing this? I wonder what percentage of companies. My son has a company that I may be mistaken. I think there might be some profit sharing or bonuses depending on the profitability of the company. Radio stations tend not to do that. Can you talk about the industries that do or don't, or how common it is?
Yeah. So it's not limited by industry, though manufacturing is probably not as not as quick to jump on the ball here. But it's not limited in terms of a kind of operations. If you look at stock ownership, which obviously we're talking about bigger companies because they're issuing stock, there's about 7,000 employers that offer stock to their own employees. But the numbers are probably far larger, and we're hearing anecdotally they've been growing a lot, as I mentioned at the start of the segment. What's really fascinating, though, John, is many companies that initiate the programs don't fully explain it to their employees, don't tell them what the numbers look like or how they can be part of the solution. That's the missing piece for many companies.
Philip Weiss is the president of SciFarth at Work. For more ideas and advice like this, visit SciFarth at Work, SceyFarth, SciFarth at Work. Nice to talk to you, Philip.
It's a pleasure, John. Thank you.
Speaking of looking at our phone when we should be paying attention to other things, Harvey Wells is here, the founder of Lower Tech Bills, lowertechbills.com. Harvey, I want to start this conversation with an email we got from a listener who said, after listening to Harvey on John Williams' show and after conversing with him, he saved us over $2,500 annually. Thanks for having him on, says Bill in Naperville.
That must be my brother-in-law.
I don't know that it is.
No, probably not. Yeah, that's. I would hate to say that's typical, but it's not atypical either. You can really find that there are savings out there.
$2,500.
Yeah.
Well, what's the mother load of savings when you work with somebody? Where is the most? Where are we least opportunistically spending our money that we could save on?
You know, that's a terrific question, John, and it really is a puzzle. Every single client of mine, I have to look at this massive puzzle of three different things: sell, internet, and TV. Sometimes people are spending way too much on their TV and they don't even realize that they're double paying for some services. Some people are paying way too much for their cell phone. And now that internet prices have been going down, some people are doing that too. So it's usually a combination of those three things. And that's how I put that puzzle together. And people end up saving, like this gentleman did, over $2,000 a year.
So it's a lot of small pots as opposed to a great big one, usually.
It's a heck of a lot of work.
Well,
it really is. But it's fun. It really is digging down and solving that puzzle for each person.
Which is the best way to describe it. It is a puzzle to a lot of us, and we throw up our hands. So Harvey is here. Maybe you've got a question. 312-981-7200, lowertechbills.com. Harvey Wells is the founder. And he's actually the guy that comes to your house and does this. He makes house calls.
I do. And that's the one thing that I've realized that I've had to do. When I started this business, I just thought, hey, I can save you money. But what I've realized is that most people need to have their hand held a little bit. Most people need to understand not only that they can save money, but how to save money. So what I end up doing is meeting them either at a store or in their house and helping teach them, because there's a lot of technology out there right now, and people do throw up their hands. They go, I can't do this.
I think we're happy if we just know how to use it, let alone figure out best to pay for it.
Oh, yeah. And I hate to say it, but as we age, we have something that I call FOC, F-O-C, fear of change. And I liken it to when my parents, I bought them a VCR in 1986 and it flashed 12 until they moved to Florida and it never stopped flashing 12. Well, we're our parents now. And we have difficulty grasping those same things that our parents did.
You said before you came on the air with us, but when you came into the studio today, that there's a new form we're going to get from our internet providers. Is that right?
Yeah. One of the things that I think people really get upset about is hidden fees. And they get a they hear that their service for internet TV or cell, whatever it is X amount, and then they get a bill and it costs like 50% more. And they go, how could it be 150 when I saw it was 100? Well, there's all these different fees. And what the government is starting to do is look at these hidden fees and say, wait a minute, the consumer should know. Just like if you go to a supermarket and buy a can of peas, you know the nutritional value on that can. The same thing should be with our tech. We should know that we're getting X amount of bandwidth. It's costing us X amount of money per month. We're not paying extra for a modem. We're not paying extra if we go over a certain amount of bandwidth per month. We're going to know all in what we're paying. And I think that would make a lot of people happy if they knew 100% what they were paying as opposed to a come-on price.
Would that appear online on my bill? Would that be when I sign up for the service? I wonder how they would execute.
Yeah, I think it would have to be in a signage in a store, or someone would be obligated to tell you. I always recommend to people, go to the store. Don't talk to somebody in the Philippines. Don't talk to somebody and wait on hold for 2 hours with a customer service. Go to the store and sign up for something there or get your information there. Those people are paid to tell you the information that you need. Of course, you can call me too, but for the most part, you're better off not sitting in line somewhere on a phone.
Many people are confused about how best to access TV. Should they use YouTube TV as their provider, or Hulu, or Comcast, or a satellite service? Can you give me just some ballpark ideas about that?
Yeah, and that's another thing that's very complicated. And I'll give you a perfect example, Hulu. There is a Hulu that you just get certain programs, like Handmaid's Tale on the streaming service called Hulu. Then there is something called Hulu Plus Live TV. Hulu Plus Live TV acts like a cable service where you can get CNN and you can get the different ESPNs and things like that. So when people subscribe to Hulu, they might think they're getting all of the service for $6.99 a month, when in fact they're only getting the streaming service that gives you the typical programs, where if you want Hulu Plus Live TV, it's going to cost you $90 a
month. Isn't that the same with YouTube?
YouTube, then there's two different YouTubes. See, this is the whole problem. It's out there to confuse us consumers. There's regular YouTube and there's YouTube TV.
But in either case, say for YouTube TV or Hulu Live Plus, whatever you call it.
Hulu Plus Live TV.
You would need you would need the internet.
You absolutely need
the internet. Are they internet providers? No.
No, they are not.
So you'll have to have a deal with Comcast or somebody to provide the internet.
Yes.
But then rather than getting your TV programming from Comcast, say you just get some basic Comcast or Xfinity service.
Sure.
Then your TV provider is going to be one of these other platforms you pay a premium for.
You're getting it, John. This is my fourth time on. You're finally getting it.
You are hearing a light bulb. But then, is that a better value?
It could be, or maybe not. Right now, Xfinity has some really good deals out there. And I think Xfinity is kind of tired of being sort of looked on as the bad guy in all of this.
Yeah.
And what they have done is made some terrific deals right now for internet on its own. You can get internet on its own for $40 right now from Xfinity, all in. You can get TV service for not much more than that. So you bundle things together. Now, YouTube TV, you're going to get that for $70 a month. You want Hulu Plus Live TV, it's going to be $89 a month. So they're all different.
Do those other two services, Hulu and the expanded Hulu and the expanded YouTube, offer the breadth of channels that Xfinity would offer?
There's another puzzle. Every single streaming service offers a different outlook for its channels, different menu of channels. So,
menu of channels, but they all have the same channels.
Not necessarily.
No.
So, for example, if you want the marquee network for the Cubs here in Chicago, your only choices are Comcast Xfinity, DirecTV, or Fubo, which is another streaming service. Otherwise, if you subscribe to YouTube TV, you can't get it unless you subscribe to Marquee separately for another $20 a month. It's confusing.
Hmm. And it gets to be expensive then,
doesn't it? Gets to be very expensive because you're adding on and adding on and adding on. There are ways around it. But then again, there's a lot of people who find the convenience of cable TV, being able to talk into the remote control, because there's so many channels out there that they go, wow, if I can just say
who ESPN. Offers that service, talking to the remote control?
There are a couple of them. Xfinity does.
Yeah, right.
DirecTV Stream does. And if you bundle YouTube TV along with a Chromecast, I'm not going to dive into the woods here too deeply, but if you have a Chromecast streaming device or Google TV and YouTube TV, you can do it too.
Harvey, which service do you think is the easiest to navigate, to search for and find shows?
I would suggest probably Xfinity because they've been there for the longest, and with DirecTV Stream probably second. And that's because, like I say, Xfinity has this talk-into remote control that people really like. Now, it costs $10 extra a month for every TV you have for that service, but some people are more than willing to pay the $10 for that service.
312 texted in to say, I called Harvey after hearing him on your show, and I switched to YouTube TV for my house and my cottage, and now I'm saving $187 a month. Bam. Harvey rocks.
Thank you. And I remember that's a woman who has a house in both Chicago and I believe in Door County. And she, and with YouTube TV, it's portable. So she was able to cancel both of her cable subscriptions here, subscribe to YouTube TV. And when she lives in Chicago, she's able to download it here. When she goes up to Door County, she's able to download it up there. Like she says, boom, she's got it both places for $74 a month.
One account.
One account.
312-981-7200 if you have a question or just want to say how wonderful Harvey is.
Harvey Wells. I'm open for business for that.
Founder of LowerTechBills.com. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch on WGN Radio. More business news here with Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. McDonald's is pulling the plug on the use of artificial intelligence for taking orders in its drive-thrus. About 100 stores have been testing new technology using IBM AI since 2021. McDonald's says the system was accurate about 85% of the time, but its failures had been the subject of social media mockery. In some cases, customers reported AI struggled to add items to orders and sometimes added things that weren't ordered at all. McDonald's hasn't ruled out the future use of AI. Chicago City Council members will consider a plan that would put digital billboards in public spaces, on private buildings, and along the Chicago River. Cranes quotes 6th Ward Alderman William Hall, who says the river is nothing but a runway to get a message out. The goal is to increase revenue for the city without raising taxes. Right now, Chicago has strict rules about large signs on buildings and where large billboards can be located. Billboards are currently prohibited within 100 feet of waterways. When former Mayor Rahm Emanuel pushed a plan to allow billboards along Chicago expressways, the city said the deal would generate $154 million over the 20-year life of the agreement. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Thank you, sir. More business of food now with Steve Alexander.
Yeah, thank you. And let's begin with this. How do you turn $15,000 into $1 million? After, I thank the Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com for sponsoring us today. There's never been a better time to put a Silverado in your toolbox. Okay, how do you turn $15,000 into $1 million?
Pizza.
Yeah, buy pizzas. Here to explain is...
Matthew Parkhurst, co-founder and CEO at Antimetal.
What's the name of your company again?
Antimetal.
And what do you do?
You know, in short, what we do is help companies save time and money on cloud. So, you know, anytime you visit a website, use a software application or anything, it's typically calling the cloud, and that ends up being really expensive for whatever company is hosting that. So we basically go in, look at a bunch of data, and help those companies make better decisions around their infrastructure to save them time and money.
Matthew's 26. He's the co-founder and CEO of the tech startup. He wanted to break through all the noise in the tech sector, all the clutter in our inboxes.
The product sort of sells itself. So it's really about getting, you know, in front of them and making strong impact.
But
how do you get in front of a bunch of people for a relatively small amount of money?
His answer?
Hey, pizza!
You know, sort of figured that everyone likes pizza.
So he delivered lunch. On April 4th, he and his half dozen employees sent out pizzas to prospective clients in New York and San Francisco.
Around 1,000. And this was a mix of startups, larger companies, and like venture capital firms.
Each pizza, and what kind, Matthew?
Cheese.
Each in a box with his company's name and contact info.
And we put a handwritten note inside. There was just, hey, you know, I'm sending you this pizza in celebration of our launch. Would love for you to go check out our website.
And of those 1,000 pizzas, Matthew, how many customers did you sign up?
Around 75.
He says that created a bump of more than $1 million in net revenue. And one more time, what do you do?
It's a really clear-cut way to just make better decisions around your infrastructure, really. You know, we're actually looking at, you know, millions of data points to come to an informed decision, you know, using AI so that you're not making mistakes.
All right, Matthew Parkhurst of Antimetal. What's your website?
Antimetal, A-N-T-I-M-E-T-A-L.com.
Okay. Anything else?
Just that I love Chicago. I visited recently. It's a great city. And you guys have great pizza.
Yes, we do. I'm Steve Alexander. That's The Business of Food on 720 WGN.
Okay, so Harvey Wells is in our studio. He is the founder of LowerTechBills.com. That's how you will reach him after the show, because we don't have time for all of your calls and messages, but a lot of you are calling and texting.
You can also email me at hmwellsradio@gmail.com.
hmwellsradio.
Because I used to be a radio guy.
I know that. W-E-L-L-S.
Right, at gmail.com.
Or lowertechbills.com.
Thank you.
What service does Harvey recommend for my 86-year-old mom who has trouble navigating everything? She's not afraid of technology, but she's 86.
I would still say the one that she has now. Because you don't want to, at a certain age, have to start saying, yeah, come on in, you just download YouTube TV, it's easy. A millennial will tell you how easy it is. Guess what? That millennial does not live in your home.
You could set her up, though.
I could set her up, but chances
are...
There's
still a learning curve.
Yeah. Chances are, when you get to be of a certain age, you want that comfort of knowing how to do it.
Isn't Comcast the easiest in that it's familiar to most
yes.
folks, and it has the microphone button that will
yes.
tell you what you want?
100%. Yes.
What are the best bundles? I feel like I have everything and am not taking advantage of bundling like I should.
Well, there are bundles out there. For example, if you like Disney, there's something called the Disney Trio, which gives you Disney Plus and ESPN Plus and Hulu for about $2 more than just Disney Plus alone. If you like Showtime, if you subscribe to Paramount Plus for $2 more a month, you get Showtime. So there are a lot of bundles out there. And then there's bundles with the internet. There's bundles if you have a T-Mobile, for example, for your cellular phone company, you should look to see if you can get their internet, because that's $40 a month for their internet.
John, if there's time, can you ask your guest if we will have to buy an extra Netflix account for our second home? We don't think we should have to, since it's only the two of us who like to enjoy Netflix, but in two different places at different times.
As long as you're not using them in both places at the same time, there should not be an issue.
This is David. You're on with Harvey Wells. David, what can we do for you?
I'd like to know what he thinks about this Philo TV.
I think Philo is very good. It's only $25 a month. The only issue with Philo is they do not offer local channels. So if you want 257, 911, all that stuff, it's not for you. They also don't offer some of the more popular cable channels. I believe ESPN's not on it. So I always recommend, I have a master channel guide for all of the different streaming services. You go to their website, you find out what their channels are, and if it's good for you for $25, it's a great bargain.
That's a streaming service like
yes.
YouTube Plus or something
yes.
like that?
There's Hulu, Fubo, Philo, Friendly, there's a whole bunch of different ones, but they all have different channels, so you got to let the buyer beware.
But if you think that's a good price and you can live with the selection, you
oh,
don't think
great.
There's no problem with that?
No, you do have to download the app and then learn the new ecosystem. You're going to have to work the remote control with your TV remote control, but if you know how to do it, yeah, it's a good bargain.
Is this Elise? You're on WGN with Harvey Wells. What can we do for you?
I'd like to know if the Xfinity bundles are only for new customers, or I've been with Xfinity forever.
I think that's a good question. Hold on.
And not at all. As a matter of fact, I always tell their customers, you have to go every 11 months into an Xfinity store and renegotiate, or let me do it. Happy to do it for you. But yes, you can get the same deals that somebody else is getting. You just have to speak up.
This man actually comes to houses.
I do.
There's only one of them.
I make house calls.
One of him, so I don't know how he does it, but he does it. Harvey, if folks want to reach you, they can go to lowertechbills.com or they can email
hmwells, W-E-L-L-S, radio@gmail.com.
You've been on every month or so, or every couple
Happy
of months.
Happy to come back anytime you want.
You are hereby invited.